Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
One of the most contentious issues being debated in Washington has been the proposed Keystone XL pipeline to carry Canadian heavy crude oil to refineries in the southern U.S. But there are other pipeline proposals much closer to home that are equally divisive and intensely debated. These pipelines would transport natural gas from shale formations in Pennsylvania to Massachusetts and beyond. Governors from around New England will soon convene at an energy summit in Boston to talk about the pipelines planned. This morning, in the second of our energy series called Powering Our Future, WBUR's Bruce Gellerman takes us back to the future to an old alternative to new pipelines.
Late last fall, you couldn't blame Gordon Van Welle for looking just a little nervous.
We're going into the winter reasonably confident, but not absolutely confident.
That's because it's Van Welle's responsibility as head of ISO New England to keep the lights on in the region. ISO runs our electric grid, and Van Welle was uncertain because there were times last winter during peak demand that the price of electricity in New England was the highest on the planet. He says electric utilities here couldn't get enough fuel for their generators to burn.
The problem really is that we don't have enough gas pipeline infrastructure in the region to supply the gas that's needed by all the gas-fired generators during the wintertime. And the issue is unresolved at this point.
There have been severe constraints on the pipelines this winter, too. And Van Welle warns that without more capacity, in 5 years, we're going to be in big trouble, facing the possibility of rolling blackouts in the dead of winter. Today, half of the electricity in New England is generated by burning natural gas. That's more than three times what it was just 15 years ago. Natural gas imported from the vast Marcellus shale gas fields in Pennsylvania is dirt cheap and a lot cleaner than burning oil and coal. So as electric companies pull the plug on old power plants, they're switching to gas to run new ones.
It's a positive step because there are 50% less carbon emissions from natural gas right off the bat.
Alan Foer is spokesman for Kinder Morgan. The Texas-based company wants to build a new pipeline from the Marcellus into Massachusetts.
So as you're lowering and retiring these plants, it gives you an opportunity to use natural gas, which is lower, and let renewables have a chance to catch up. Because we call natural gas a bridge energy. The bridge is to renewables or other alternatives other than fossil fuels.
But opponents call gas pipelines a bridge too far, a barrier to a clean energy future. Pipelines can last a long time, a century, even more. And natural gas, mostly methane, is a potent greenhouse gas. While cleaner burning than coal and oil, it's the second most prevalent climate-changing gas emitted in the U.S.
This natural gas pipeline simply will not pay off for the people of New England.
Michael Feldstein is co-author of the study Burden of Proof, a report critical of the Kinder Morgan proposal. Feldstein says projections about the need for more gas pipeline are built on overly optimistic cost assumptions that could lock New England into a volatile and potentially expensive fossil fuel future that would stall development of renewables.
Building a 2 billion cubic foot per day natural gas pipeline seems a little bit like swatting a fly with an elephant gun. There actually are lots of alternatives for addressing peak demand problems.
One alternative to natural gas could be natural gas in a different form. You'll find it along the Mystic River, not far from Logan Airport. Anthony Scaraggi stands on a catwalk outside the control room high above the Everett LNG terminal. Scaraggi is VP of Operations for GDF Suez, which owns the facility. Everett is the oldest terminal of its kind in the U.S. For more than 40 years, ships from foreign countries have been supplying New England with liquefied natural gas.
So that's Tobin Bridge, right? Ships come from under the Tobin Bridge into us here. They dock at our dock, and LNG is pumped out of the ships. It's pumped through a pipeline that then delivers the LNG into our tanks, and I'll show you the tanks.
Everett has two tanks. Each is about 180 feet high. These days, they contain LNG imported from Trinidad and Tobago, where the natural gas is cooled to minus 260 degrees Fahrenheit and turned into a liquid, shrinking the volume to 1/600th of what it was. The liquefied gas is loaded onto ships and sent here. That's where Everett's tanks come in. They're actually giant thermoses that keep the LNG cold.
Whoa, look how big that is. total capacity is about, like I said, about 3.4 BCF.
Billion cubic feet.
Billion cubic feet of natural gas, yes. Yeah.
The Everett LNG tanks contain enough natural gas to heat and light all of Massachusetts for a day. And there are two more LNG terminals under the sea, 12 miles off the coast of Gloucester Harbor. Built just a few years ago, they've gone virtually unused until this winter, when one received a shipment. Anthony Scaraggi says LNG can supply the region's natural gas needs without constructing more pipeline.
They're building a solution for a 365-day problem when there's only a 30 to 40-day problem. Last year it was 42 days.
And so far this year, it's about the same. It's only on the very coldest days when heating and electric utilities compete for pipeline capacity that there are bottlenecks. Most of the time, there's an excess of pipeline capacity. Recently, operators of the Maritimes and Northeast Pipeline, which transports gas from Canada into the region, filed for permission to reverse the flow. That would enable the pipeline to carry cheap shale gas from Pennsylvania through Massachusetts to Canada and perhaps beyond.
It's very funny. When you add up all the capacity they want to bring into New England, it's multiples of the capacity that we actually use in New England. I don't know how you do that. You know, so that's classic overbuild.
And that excess pipeline capacity, says Scaraggi, can cost big bucks to consumers. Rather than spend billions of dollars on new infrastructure, he advocates using the current LNG system of ships, trucks, storage tanks, and pipelines to serve the region. Not only is it paid for, he says, it can be downsized more easily to allow renewables to replace fossil fuels.
And we can push gas from east to west. Very, very easily. So there is no bottleneck for us east to west. So we can stick a huge amount of gas into the system east to west and backfeed it.
But some advocates of natural gas and LNG are urging caution when it comes to relying on the existing system.
We have the highest concentration of liquefied natural gas in the country right here in New England.
Tom Riley is president of the Northeast Gas Association. Everett LNG is a member of his trade group. But Riley notes that when the gas is turned into a liquid, it's usually a lot more expensive. And if utilities import more LNG, they'll need to build additional storage tanks. Riley says there are pros and cons to the old LNG system and adding new pipelines.
What is the cost-benefit analysis of doing that versus tying into an interstate pipeline company? Those are the types of scenarios that these companies are reviewing all the time.
The scenarios can shift rapidly and unpredictably. The price of natural gas and LNG is volatile and sensitive to geopolitics. And the stakes are enormous. Regional energy analyst Shana Cleveland says on the line are tens of billions of dollars in energy and infrastructure and New England's contribution to global climate change.
If we put that money into natural gas now, we can expect that our system's not going to look much different in 2050 than it does today.
As an attorney for the Conservation Law Foundation, Cleveland opposed new pipelines in Massachusetts. Now at Ceres, she's trying to bridge the gap and bring business investors and environmental groups together.
This is really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and we're standing right here at the point where we can decide what our system will look like in the future.
In just a few weeks, we'll get a glimpse of our future. That's when New England governors convene in Boston at a regional energy summit and decide whether we need more natural gas pipeline. If so, how much and for how long? For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bruce Kellerman.